Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girvaradhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girvaradhari. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivakachar Sotar Sadashi Shimat, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hanani Gauri Vaishnava Vindiki Jai. Namachar Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prema Zagaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivindiki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopi Nash Shamakunda Radha Kuni Giri Govindana Ki Jai. Vrindava Gam Di Jai Navadvipa Dhama Ki Jai. Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Yamuna Mayi Ki Jai. Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glory to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 16, text 13 and 14. So since verse 13 has no purport, I'll just read it myself, and then we'll chant together verse number 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'll chant this by myself. Brahmavacha atatasya shatim devim rishikuyam sarasvatim naswadya manyu dastanam tesham atma vyatriptyata. Translation. Brahma continued, even though the sages had been bitten by the serpent of anger, their souls were not satiated with hearing the Lord's lovely and illuminating speech, which was like a series of Vedic hymns. So we'll chant the next verse together. Satim Vyadaya Shrinvanto. Lagvam Gurvarta Gavaram. Vigaya Gada Gambiram. Navidusta Chikir Sitam. Someone could chant. Matajis. Okay, word for word. Satim. Excellent. Vyadava, with attentive oral reception. Shrinvataha, hearing. Lagvim, properly composed. Guru, momentous. Artha, import. Gavaram, difficult to understand. Vigaya, pondering. Agada, deep. Gambiram, grave. Na, not. Viduhu, understand. Tat, of the Supreme Lord. Chikir Sitam, the intention. Translation. The Lord's excellent speech was difficult to comprehend because of its momentous import and its most profound significance. The sages heard it with wide open ears and pondered it as well. But although hearing, they could not understand what he intended to do. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It should be understood that no one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead in speaking. There is no difference between the Supreme Person and His speeches, for He stands on the absolute platform. The sages tried with wide open ears to understand the words from the lips of the Supreme Lord. But although his speech was very concise and meaningful, the sages could not completely comprehend what he was saying. They could not even comprehend the purport of the speech of what the Supreme Lord wanted to do, nor could they understand whether the Lord was angry or pleased with them. Nama Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Bastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Praschatya Teshatarne. So the words of the Supreme Lord, they're very concise. This is the qualification of the qualities of spiritual subject matters. One of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Sarup Damodar, he was at a meeting of scientists, and he was explaining to Srila Prabhupada that the scientist was saying so many things, such as about the origin of life, so many words, but I couldn't understand what he was talking about. And Srila Prabhupada replied that this is the way of mundane talk, of volumes of words, but no meaning. Where spiritual life, or spiritual talk, is a few words, and they have volumes of meaning. So this is a nature of spiritual life. So in here in the purport, it mentions how the Supreme Lord is absolute. This is a nature of the Supreme Lord. He is absolute. Absolute means anything about Krishna is Krishna. This is the meaning of absolute. So anything that's connected with Krishna is Krishna. He's non-different from his names, his qualities, his pastimes, his paraphernalia. There is no duality. This is a meaning of the absolute. There's no duality. And by coming in contact with the absolute, then we never feel tired. This is how we could test if something is absolute or not. If it has to do with the absolute truth, that there's no, we don't become tired. Just like if you want to have a flower, probably gave the example of a rose flower. You may say rose flower, rose flower, rose flower, 10, 20 times, but after a while you become disgusted. But if you chant the name Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, 24 hours a day, you will not feel tired. You'll feel more and more energetic. So that's the nature of the absolute truth. It is ever fresh. So Krishna is the absolute truth, and although we can't realize this in the beginning, but gradually we will understand. But in the meantime, we have to accept that Krishna is non-different from his name, and by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna is personally on our tongue, and we are in direct contact with Krishna. So Krishna is the absolute truth, the absolute controller. So there's so many controllers in this material world. I may be controlling so many people, but I'm controlled by somebody else. And that person is also controlled by somebody else. But we keep on going further and further, and we come to Krishna. He's the absolute controller, and he controls everyone, but nobody controls him. So he is the absolute controller. And Krishna, he has six opulences. He has wealth, beauty, knowledge, strength, wisdom, and fame, and or renunciation and fame. And all these are non-different from himself. They're absolute. Because Krishna is non-different from his body. Krishna's, him and his body are the same. So when Krishna displays these different qualities in the material world, they are perfect. But when we display these qualities in the material world, they become perverted because we are different from our bodies. We are not this body. We're spirit soul. We're within this body. But this body is different from us. But Krishna, there's no difference from his body. His body and himself are the same. So in this way, all his qualities are absolute and they're perfectly displayed in this material world. So on the absolute platform, things are on the same level, the absolute truth. Just like Srila Prabhupada states that the photograph of a spiritually advanced person and that of an ordinary person is not the same. So similarly, Krishna in his deity form are the same like that. So this is the nature of the absolute truth. There's no duality. So Krishna is the same within and without, being the absolute truth. As he says in the Bhagavad Gita, always think of me, become my devotee, offer your obeisances unto me. But the rascals, they say that this doesn't refer to Krishna, but it refers to the unborn within Krishna. But Krishna is the same both within and without. There's no difference because he is the absolute truth. Otherwise, there's no meaning to absolute. So there's no duality within Krishna. He is the same. His body and his self is the same, whereas our body and our self is different. So Krishna being the same, he is the same in the front and the back. So it is stated in the scriptures that the front of God is religiosity and his back is irreligiosity. But for a devotee, he sees this as the same. Therefore, devotees, they're not concerned about the dangers of this material world. Whether opulence or dangers, it's the same thing. They just see that the dangers is another feature of God, and they welcome such dangers. They just see it as simply another feature of the Supreme. So Krishna appears either in a very fearful situation or in a very nice situation. A devotee doesn't make any distinction. So no matter what Krishna does, a devotee relishes his activities. Whether he does something, his so-called unkind activities or his kind activities, a devotee doesn't make any distinctions. He relishes them both as the same thing. So this is a position of saintly persons and great devotees like the gopis. They always relish Krishna's activities no matter what he did, and they never wanted to give up Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya also praised this. He says, Krishna, you may crush me under your feet or you may embrace me, but you are the only object of my love. So in this way, Krishna's activities are the same, whether he kills us or he loves us. So Krishna, he kills the demons and he loves the devotees, but both of them are benefited. And we shouldn't see this as jealousy from the Supreme Lord. Just like the example is given of the parents. The parents may give one of their children, very nice food to eat. And another child, they may withhold food from the child because the child is sick. But the parents, they love both of their children the same. So similarly, Krishna, he may give suffering to one living entity and he may give opulence to another, but it's all based on love. So, in our present position, we cannot see Krishna. But by appreciating and understanding the nature of God, that is the same as seeing God. That is the same thing as seeing God. So, in this way, if we see the see things as Krishna's arrangement in this world, then ultimately we'll be able to see God eye to eye. So just like the example is given, different examples are given, that when one sees the sun, one should think that this is Krishna. So Krishna says, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. So by thinking like that, we could appreciate God. And by tasting water, we could think that this is the taste of water is Krishna. So by doing these things, we purify our soul, and then one day we will be able to see Krishna eye to eye. So for Krishna, everything, since he is the absolute absolute truth, he is absolute. He doesn't see differentiation between one service and another. So Srila Prabhupada gave the example of somebody who's dressing the deity and somebody who's cleaning the temple. Krishna sees them equally. The effect is the same. It's not one should think, oh, I'm simply a cleanser and they're a dresser. No, it's the same. It's because Krishna's service is absolute. Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, by performing one's qualities of work, everyone can attain perfection. He can attain perfection. And by worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and is all-pervading, man can, by the performance of his work, attain perfection. So in this way, it doesn't matter what type of work one performs, but one must worship the Lord by the performance of his work. So in this way, one may be a brahmana, a kshatriya, a vaishya, a sudra. One may have a man's body, a woman's body. It doesn't matter. But if one engages one's body, mind, and activities in Krishna's service, then one will achieve perfection and go back to home and back to Godhead. But if one is not sincere, one will just simply take birth again in this material world. And taking birth in the material world is simply full of suffering. It doesn't matter what type of body you have. One could be a man, a brahmana, a kshatriya. One still has to suffer. So one has to be sincere and simply perform one's work for Krishna. This is the most important thing. So one has to perform one's activities for Krishna. And that, since Krishna is absolute, by offering one's service to Krishna, whether it's so-called good or bad, doesn't really matter. Just like in the material world, people perform so-called good activities or bad activities. But actually, all the activities in the material world are bad activities because they simply bind one to the material world. Whereas even so-called bad activities, if they're engaged for Krishna, then they elevate one. Just like Krishna told Maharaj Yudhisthira during the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he told him that you should say that Ashwatthama is dead. Because Dronacharya, unless he hears it from you, since you are known as truthful, he will not accept it. And this way, Dronacharya will be disheartened and he won't be able to go on with the fighting. So Maharaj Yudhisthira was thinking, well, how can I lie, you know? But he hesitated. So this was a fault on his part. So in this way, one should perform activities to please Krishna. This is the main thing. Whether so-called good activities or bad activities. But at the same time, one shouldn't imitate great souls like Maharaj. One shouldn't imitate great souls like Maharaj Yudhisthira unless one is personally told by Krishna or his representative, like that. So, this transcendental sound vibration is there even though the person is not there. So, we hear the transcendental sound vibration, which is handed down through the disciplic succession. In this way, when we hear the words of Krishna, we are directly hearing Krishna, hearing about Krishna. Someone may say that, oh, Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago, but he's not present anymore. No, Krishna's present. He's present in his words. He's present in the Bhagavad Gita. So by hearing Bhagavad Gita, you are actually hearing Krishna speak. He's there every moment, every second. And by coming in contact with this transcendental sound, then one can become purified. One hears a transcendental sound and takes it up and applies in his life, then he'll attain perfection. So one is fortunate enough to get this transcendental sound through the disciplic succession and accepts it, then his life is successful. So it is stated in the Bhagavatam that the order of the Lord and the Lord himself are identical. So by accepting the order of the Lord, there is no factual separation from the Lord. So in this way, this knowledge is there. Just like there's the words of Krishna and the words of the great devotees, is the same thing. So somebody may also say that, well, the great devotees, they're here, and then we're fortunate enough to get their association. But when they leave, then we can no longer get their association. But the words of the pure devotees, they remain with us. Srila Prabhupada mentioned this on a morning walk, that you can associate with me by reading my books. So simply by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, one can get his association. Because this is the nature of transcendental sound, is absolute. It is non-different from Krishna. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada very much emphasized hearing the transcendental message. He wrote to two devotees, actually on the same day, on February the 14th, 1973, he wrote to Rameshwar that all the devotees must go to the classes 1 hour in the morning and 1 hour in the evening. And he wrote to Rupanuga on the same day, he said, the order has been given, 1 hour in the morning and 1 hour in the evening. And Srila Prabhupada also mentioned that not only should you hear, but you should write also. Realization means to write. You should write about Krishna. This is one of the activities of a Vaishnava. So, Krishna, he's non-different from his name. And by chanting his name with devotion, Krishna is present on our tongue. And we come in contact with Krishna and we become pure, the purest. And on a morning walk, Srila Prabhupada mentioned how by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna is present with you, and you, when you walk on the beach, you are walking with Krishna. So the nature of the holy name of the Lord, the absolute nature, is that it has its effect, whether one chants it jokingly or sincerely, the effect is there. So in this way, so many people may criticize the Hare Krishna movement, but little do they know that by their criticizing, by their saying these Krishnas, this and that, they're actually purifying their soul. So, this holy name of the Lord, being the absolute, is non-different from Krishna. It will protect us from the greatest dangers. It is powerful as the Lord himself, and by chanting the holy name of the Lord, even unconsciously or under great distress, one could be relieved from the repetition of birth and death in this material world. So Krishna consciousness, or Krishna's name, is full of transcendental meaning. The name being absolute, by chanting Hare Krishna, everything material and spiritual is revealed to one. So there's Param Brahman, or the transcendental knowledge, the essence of which is Hare Krishna, and by that Hare Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, all knowledge is revealed to one. So Krishna's senses are interchangeable. He could use any of his senses as any one of his other senses. This is the meaning of absolute. So in this way, he could see, or he could hear from his eyes, and he can impregnate by his eyes. In this way, Krishna glances over the material creation, and all the living entities are injected within the material creation. And in this way, they come out in different forms of life. And by his speaking, he speaks by his breathing. So in this way, simply by breathing, he is speaking. In this way, the four Vedas become manifest. And by his, he eats by hearing the prayers as a devotee. Just like we may think, well, how is Krishna hearing or eating on the altar? Well, one of the ways he eats on the altar is by hearing. He hears the prayers of the devotees. And he eats by his eyes. Krishna, by seeing the food before him, he could eat it. Just simply by touching it with his hand, he could eat it. In so many ways, he could use his senses. And also it's stated that Krishna could see us when we're offering prayers. So by offering prayers to Krishna, he sees his devotees. Oh, here's my devotee. So in this way, his senses are interchangeable. So in this way, this is the absolute nature of Krishna, and we have to take advantage of this. No matter where we are or what position we are in, we could take advantage of Krishna's association in any one of the ways, such as hearing about him, chanting about him, serving the deity. In so many ways, they are all similar, and so there's no excuse not for being engaged in Krishna consciousness. When we can think about Krishna, it's the same thing as any other activities. So in this way, there's no impediment to engaging in Krishna consciousness. It's not that even one has to be physically active to engage in Krishna consciousness. Simply by thinking about Krishna, just like that one sage in the forest, he heard simply by meditating, one could serve Krishna. So in this way, he was performing so many activities, getting so much water in golden pots to wash the deity with from the river. He was cooking for the deity just by meditation. In this way, he perfected his life. So much so that when he was cooking sweet rice, he touched the pot in his meditation, he burned his finger. So Lord Narayan sent his carrier to go and bring him back to the spiritual world. So simply by thinking about Krishna, one could serve Krishna. Krishna simply wants the love and devotion. That's all he wants. Because what could we offer Krishna? Everything belongs to him. We can simply offer him our love. So it is. So in this way, Krishna, he doesn't need any. It's also stated that he doesn't need anything. It's like Prabhupada wrote a letter about Lord Jagannath. He says, Lord Jagannath doesn't need our offerings. He's not hungry for his offerings, but he's also hungry for our offerings. So that's the nature of God. He doesn't need anything. He's complete. He's self-sufficient, but at the same time, he's hungry. He's hungry and he's not hungry. So all this knowledge is there, given by the acharyas, given by Srila Prabhupada. He said, I've given you the framework. Now make it a nice building. So in this way, we had to execute his instructions. We shouldn't be simply comfortable in this life. There's no necessity of simply being comfortable. Like the materialists, they simply want to be comfortable, have a nice situation, have so much money, have so much sense gratification. But what's the point if in their next life they're going to become a cat or a dog? Then where is their so-called comfortable situation? But if we practice Krishna consciousness, if we perform austerity to please Krishna, then in this short lifetime, we could attain perfection and go back to home, back to Godhead. So we'll stop there. Are there any questions on these points? Okay. Yes? Is that Danny? Or what?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for this great class. You mentioned that everything in relation to Krishna is non-different from Krishna. And you also mentioned that one thing that we can do to tell if something is spiritual is if it's ever fresh. So I was wondering, you know, we have like flower garlands that over some time they wither, or prasadam that might spoil, you know. So how does that work? Because we can understand it's non-different from Krishna, yet it appears that they're going bad after time.
How they're going bad after that time. I can't say. I have to think about that one. Does anybody else have any ideas about that? Something from Shastra?
Well, one thought is that I know in Vrindavan when they, you know, distribute Mahaprasadam, and even if it goes on the ground, devotees take it and they honor it. They even eat it. So I guess, that's not a good word to use, I guess, but the spiritual quality is still there, but, I mean, materially it's going through some transformation, obviously. I mean, the prasadam that goes on the ground is experiencing, undergoing some material transformation, but the spiritual quality of it is apparently still there. That's why the devotees honor it, despite the fact that it's fallen on the ground and it's got so-called dirty. So maybe it's a question of spiritual vision. I mean, the garlands are, like, some people save garlands that are, you know, if you got a garland that Prabhupada was wearing, you wouldn't be concerned about the fact that it was wilting. You'd save it,
yeah.
Right? If, you know, or some other article, some prasadam, mahaprasadam that Prabhupada, you know, left. You put it in a plastic bag or a glass container or something like that, you know. Why? Because obviously it's on a material level, it's gone through some changes, but the faith, the conviction is that it still has its spiritual importance, hasn't diminished at all.
Yeah. Yeah, one thing comes to mind, Srila Prabhupada had a conversation. It's in Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. And the question was asked, well, sometimes I have, sometimes the prasadam I eat doesn't agree with me and stuff like that. And Srila Prabhupada's reply was, if you have discrimination, you should use it. So if, according to one's level of advancement, just like Raghunath Das, he was eating old prasadam, and even the cows wouldn't eat. So, but unless one's on that level, one shouldn't imitate. So prasadam is transcendental, it's ever fresh. But sometimes, you know, unless you're on that level, you can't always appreciate that. Is that to what? Archita? What?
This is the Cintya Beda Beda Tattva, simultaneously one and different. Just like Krishna. Krishna appeared in the world as the child of Mother Yashoda, and then apparently he's growing. But at the same time, it's stated that spirit never changes. So how can we accommodate that? Krishna apparently transforms from a baby into a boy, into a youth, and never goes beyond youth. But at the same time, he does seem to transform. So how do we accommodate that? Spirit is unchangeable. It's driven into our heads in the Bhagavad Gita. Never changes, never changes. That's one of the qualities of spirit. So this is a Cintya Beda Beda Tattva. That's why we have to understand from the spiritual master, not by our intellect. I'll give you an example. In New York, 74, I was brahmachari, Henry Street Temple. And we were so lusty brahmacharis that from the Sunday feast, the Sunday feast, by the way, was wonderful, really wonderful. There were always, you know, wonderful preps, at least two wonderful subjis and four different kinds of sweets, samosa, this, that, halava. So we were very lusty brahmacharis, and we would eat the remnants. Brigapati can verify, he was there. We would eat the remnants from the plates of the guests. We were so lusty. When the guests would leave, we would eat the remnants of their plates. And the temple president, Gopichandra Bhava, said, "Don't do that, it's contaminated." And we said, "No, it's prasadam, it can't be contaminated." So he wrote a letter to Prabhupada to get to the bottom of it. Are they right or am I right? Should they eat it or should they not eat it? And Prabhupada wrote back and said, "Tell them to stop." Because he knew we were doing it out of lust, not because we had realization that it was uncontaminated because it's prasadam. So it's intubated to that. But you always have to hear from the spiritual master. Because yes, intellectually, we were right. It's prasadam. It can't be contaminated. But Prabhupada said, no, don't do it.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions on these points? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Shishi, Guru, and Gauranga.